It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, I suppose everybody's heard the big news by now. Joe Biden has agreed to debate Donald Trump. Conventional wisdom says that everybody around Joe, everybody connected with his campaign, did not think this was a good idea since he mumbles, bumbles, and stumbles through every speech, since he can barely string three sentences together, since he's incoherent when he talks. But he was on the Howard Stern show. Howard Stern asked him if he would debate, and Trump keeps daring him to debate. So it could be that he boxed himself into a corner. Others are saying that they just want to get it over with early because they planned it for June, although they are supposed to be doing another one in September, so the getting it over early theory doesn't seem to make much sense, which leads to another possible strategy that they're just hoping Trump will be in jail, and that way they can say, oh, well, look, we said we would do it. We set a date in June, but they're thinking they may have timed it because this trial against Donald Trump going on in New York doesn't have too much longer to go, so maybe they timed it so that he might hopefully be in jail by then. And of course, there are all kinds of rules and specifications that Joe gave. Let me share a few. First, there's to be no audience. It's going to be done in a studio. Second, nobody's to interrupt anybody else. Well, I don't like it when people interrupt in debates, but on the other hand, you're supposed to at least have a time where there can be a conversation. And by the way, Joe Biden interrupted far more in the last debate. Everybody remembers that it's Trump interrupting. Joe Biden, not just with Trump, every debate he's ever been in, he's had the most swinish manners. He's interrupted people. Anyway, they're claiming that they're going to mute their mics so that they can't interrupt the other person. It has to be on a network of Biden's choosing, which means not Fox News. The first one will be on CNN. The second one will be on ABC. So let's add this up. No audience, muted mics while somebody else is talking, a network friendly to Joe. Sounds great, Joe. Anything else? All right, now Trump is saying he'll go along with this because Trump is pretty fearless, and usually no matter what they throw at Trump, he comes out of it looking okay. But I have serious problems with these rules, and I don't think they should get away with them, even though I appreciate the fact that Trump doesn't seem to care and he's going to go ahead and do it anyway. That's to his credit. But I want to talk about debates in general. First of all, I have real trouble with moderators, and this has nothing to do with Trump. I've been saying this for many, many years. Moderators should not be allowed to interact with the debate opponents. In fact, moderators shouldn't even be the ones that come out with questions. In a real debate, a real professional debate, you have opening statements, you have rebuttals, you have cross-examination. The moderators are just there to keep the time, but that's not what they do. They come up with their own questions, and often they debate the opponent that they don't like. And by the way, have you heard who they picked for the first debate? One of them is Jake Tapper of CNN. Oh, he's an objective journalist. This guy says that Trump is another Hitler. And when people make that comment, they obviously don't know much about Hitler. He calls Trump a Hitlerite, an anti-Semite. Of all the presidents we've ever had, with the possible exception of Harry Truman, and even then it may have been a photo finish, no president has been better to Israel than Donald Trump was. You'll recall under Donald Trump, they moved the American embassy to Jerusalem, calling Jerusalem the capital of Israel. And yet they call Trump an anti-Semite. They compare him to Hitler. They say he'll never step down from power. They're forgetting he was already president for 4 years. He did step down from power. They say they're afraid democracy will end under Trump, and yet we have a president who opens up our borders and allows illegal citizens to vote. We live under an administration where the police are being defunded, where people can go into stores and steal all they want, where they try to get a presidential candidate taken off the ballot, where they try to bring a president to jail so that he can't run. We're already sustaining our democracy under a very thin thread under Joe Biden, if you could even call this a democracy at all. But anyway, whatever his opinion, whatever reason for his opinion, this guy can't stand Trump, and we're going to view him as an objective moderator. Oh, and what kinds of subjects are they going to choose? Are they going to talk about the economy? Are they going to talk about the border? Are they going to talk about anything that Trump did well? Are they going to talk about the Middle East? Probably it'll be limited to abortion. And of course, January 6th. We'll have thoughtful, insightful questions like, President Trump, would you like to speak to the fact that under you, we would probably no longer be a democracy? President Trump, would you like to speak to the many insulting tweets you've given? President Trump, isn't it true that under your presidency, abortion will be illegal everywhere, even with cases such as rape or incest? And by the way, most pro-life people believe we should make exceptions for those kinds of cases, but you won't hear them mention that. Oh, and since we're going to be without an audience, how do we know that they won't be on a 3 or 4 second delay so that things could be omitted and deleted? How do we know that Biden won't be on a teleprompter? Not that he does well with teleprompters, he does even worse with them, but they could try that to sustain him. And will we see Trump fact-checked every time he opens his mouth with facts across the screen calling him a liar? You see, these people don't trust the audience to watch for themselves and come to their own conclusions. They're children who need to have it spoon-fed and interpreted for them. Presidential debates in the past have always talked to both campaigns. They've come up with mutually agreed upon rules and regulations regarding the setting, the location, who the moderator will be, what network they're on. I don't think Trump should have agreed to any of this, but again, he's not really worried, so we'll see what happens. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
To 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined once a month by Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. You might have missed one possibility, and that is that there just won't be a debate. Even if Donald Trump escapes all these false charges and doesn't go to jail, they may just find some excuse to not have the debate.
Well, I believe that up to now, that's what they were trying to do before Biden went on the Howard Stern show and started bragging. They were starting to say things like, it's beneath us to debate somebody like that. We're not going to debate a criminal. So it's very possible. However, the way they have this debate stacked up, they run it like this in a closed studio with fact checking. They've already written in the headlines for the next day that Biden won before the debate even starts. That's the way the mainstream media is planning on playing this.
But I think even safer would be for the Democrats is for them just to find a way to get out of that whole thing, because Trump will annihilate Biden in any debate.
But in a real debate, absolutely. Although I thought Trump annihilated him last time, and Biden still goes around saying that he won. So.
Yeah, well, Biden goes around saying a lot of things.
Well, when you've landed on the moon and rescued Nelson Mandela, you've also won debates. So.
Well, this, Justin, I know you probably heard of this story. It's a sports story, but it became more than a sports story. Harrison Butker, place kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL, stirred up controversy at his commencement address at Benedictine College in Kansas, which, by the way, is a private Catholic college.
Yeah, he talked about marriage. He talked about women being a homemaker is not a bad profession. Didn't say it should be their only profession, but of course he's taken out of context.
Well, always. A friend of mine said, oh, yeah, he said that women should be pregnant in the kitchen and stay at home. And, you know, and I said, did you hear the speech or did you read the transcript? Well, no. Here's what he said, folks. This is the dangerous, bigoted statement that Harrison made. For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think that it is the women who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross the stage and you're thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you'll bring into this world. That's what he said that was so hateful and damaging and bigoted. Now, the only mistake I can see here is that he ventured to guess what the majority of women are thinking. Listen, I can't even venture to guess what my wife of 42 years is usually thinking. So he made an assumption, and he would have been better off to say that some of you may be thinking this. But people took it, like you said, out of context, and they said, oh, see, he doesn't think women should have careers. And he said right there, some of you may go on to have successful careers, and he was praising them. But he was also praising women who make the choice to stay at home and be a mother. And for some reason, that is not politically correct.
Where was the NFL and where were the feminists when a man decided he was going to join the women's swim team and win? That doesn't concern them. A guy says that staying home and being a mother is a wonderful thing. That concerns them.
Yeah. Well, as we've said so many times, it's not a two-way street anymore. It's all one-sided. They don't apply the same rules to their issues and their causes and their bigotry. I'll just say it. There's a lot of bigotry on the left.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought in his defense, he really didn't say anything wrong. Now, during the speech, he did criticize the president. He criticized the Pope. And he's a staunch Catholic. He's a very devout Catholic.
I don't believe in popes as a Protestant. But since we've had popes, I think some have been better than others. I would say there have been good popes. This present one is a piece of work. So anything he wants to say about this present one is fine with me.
Yeah, and he called him out, and it has to do with a couple of the main issues. One is, of course, abortion, and then the other is the LGBTQT LMNOP situation. And
we're going to run out of letters in the alphabet soon.
Well, this and we're keeps gonna going to talk about that. And actually, I thought it was a very good speech, very conservative, and that's what he did wrong. What he's guilty of is being conservative. And, of course, the pundits and all of the critics and the haters just lit up. They were so triggered by this guy's speech. And by the way, as I said at the start of this segment, it's a private Catholic college.
So there wouldn't have been anything wrong with it if it had been a public college. However, your point is well taken. It was a private Catholic college. That was a very Catholic viewpoint, or a viewpoint that's at least supposedly Catholic.
And it was not out of line with that school. The school is very devout, very conservative, very religious, but That's what you would expect of a
Yeah, of course, Catholic Hamas college. Walking out of commencement services all over the country. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, right. So anyway, I just wanted to address that because when I heard that, someone made a negative thing and they accused him of saying it. They took him out of context. In fact, the things he was accused of, he didn't actually say. And I may not be the only person who has heard some of this rhetoric and feedback about Harrison Butker. And by the way, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs' wife came out in support of him and said, what's wrong with praising women who choose to be stay-at-home moms? Why is that a wrong thing?
It's so too normal for our topsy-turvy society.
Yeah. Well, we are in a mess. We're upside down. The next segment that I want to talk about takes it a little bit deeper. Oh, by the way, non sequitur here. They just had the final Indy 500 qualifying today. And this is more for Brandon because, you know, I like to make these predictions. Twice in the past 50 years, only twice has a rookie won the Indy 500. And I am picking a rookie to win the Indy 500 this year. It'll be next Sunday. Now, he's a rookie in Indy cars, but he's Kyle Larson, who is a champion in NASCAR.
I knew you were going to say that because Dave Stahl's saying the exact same thing to me. And I'm like, I don't know. The transition between NASCAR and IndyCar are two different things. Because
hey, well, is he going to hop on a motorcycle and say he identifies it as a car?
No, but he hopped in a helicopter when he was through qualifying today and flew to a NASCAR race this evening. And next week, he's going to run the Indy 500 and then fly over and do the Coca-Cola 600. It's only been done by a handful of people. Now, here's the thing, as far as his lack of experience. What people don't realize is that Kyle Larson grew up running open wheel, midgets, sprint cars, all of that stuff. And that's the way all of the Indy champions used to be. Mario Andretti, A.J. Foyt, Al Unser, those guys all came up through the open wheel thing. And Kyle Larson did as well, just as Jeff Gordon did, by the way, who was there at the Brickyard with his phone taking a video of Kyle Larson qualifying. So he does have quite a bit of experience. This is just the first time he's been in these kind of cars, and he's been fast all month.
I'm just shocked by you, honestly. You're saying a guy who usually makes left turns and goes really fast in a car is probably going to win a sport where he makes left turns and he has to drive a car really fast. Like, that's shocking to me there, Jim. I mean,
that's you. I'm getting out there. I'm really taking. You can mark it down. That's my pick this year.
Okay.
And he's starting from the second row. So there you go.
He's starting sixth, if I'm right, correct? Or is he?
Actually, they do the. They have new rules now, and so after they do the initial qualifying, then the top 12 compete, and then the top six out of those compete, and so he's actually starting fifth.
Gotcha.
But he's in the middle of the second row, and that's not a bad place. I think if I do my math and if my memory serves me well, there have been as many winners from the second row as there have been from the first row. So there you go. I just wanted to throw that in there. Had nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with Harrison Butker, and nothing to do with the iPhones that I want to talk about next. So I have been an Apple customer almost from the get-go. I've gone through maybe 10 Apple computers and just as many Apple iPhones. I'm a very loyal Apple customer. I've spent a lot of money downloading songs from iTunes. I love Apple, and it has to do with the music, really. It's because of the music that I have been a supporter. But I got a little update when, you know, you have to update your iOS system. You know how this stuff works. And I got a little alert that there is a new update for the iPhone. It's iOS system 17.5. And when I read it, it said it highlights Pride Radiance. And so I had to look that up because I figured I knew what that was going to mean. Pride.
You mean gay Pride Radiance, obviously.
Yeah. And it's
what do you mean highlights? Highlights in what way?
Well, for instance, the default wallpaper for your phone will be this gay banner with multicolors, pastel colors, and rainbow things. And here's the purpose. I looked at it. Pride Radiance is to champion global movements to protect and advance equality for LGBTQ communities. And this bothered me.
They're not learning anything from Coors and Target, are they?
I think they're already getting backlash.
Well, not Coors. I meant Bud Light. Sorry, Coors. Bud Light.
Bud Light, Target, all of that. And Disney. And we did a show about Go Woke, Go Broke. And they're already getting flack about this. I've read a whole lot of stuff. And the comments are just overwhelming by people who are protesting this. Now, what I realize is I can update my phone. I haven't done it yet because I'm a little bit ticked about
it. Well, I assume that even though that's a default, you can choose a different background.
I can choose my own wallpaper and I can ignore the stuff. I just don't like it being forced down my throat.
Of course, they're saying
every person that owns an iPhone that updates is going to get this stuff. So I sent this letter to Apple. I would like to update my phone to 17.5, but I don't want Pride Radiance. You don't showcase apps that promote Catholicism, Islam, white supremacy, celibacy, the NRA, the Freemasons, nudist colonies, pornography, MAGA, Antifa, or any other fringe group. It adds nothing to the performance of my phone. But I know that if I don't update, I'll start having problems with my phone. And the truth is, I understand people have the right to believe what they want. They should allow me that right. I have family members who are gay, and I love them. They know I love them. They don't question whether I love them, even if I don't agree with their chosen lifestyle. I just don't want to wave their flag for them. And in all fairness, none of those other groups, and some of the comments that people have been putting on is, you know, when are you going to download Christian apps? When are you going to make that part of your system, which is never going to happen?
No, they would claim separation between church and state.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the equivalent to Congress passing pork barrel legislation. You get the new update, but they just kind of squeeze that stuff in that they want for their own particular agenda. And I don't agree with it when Congress does it, and I certainly don't agree with it when the phone that I pay for and use has this without me having any choice in the matter. And like you said, I'm sure that if I download the update, and I'm sure I will at some point, I can delete whatever stuff that comes up.
At the moment, but the day's going to come, or at least there are people that are hoping the day will come when you won't even be able to choose a way out of it. They want to shove it down your throat.
This reminds me of that U2 album that everyone got on their phone. They're like, I didn't want this U2 album at all. Get this thing off my phone.
Yeah. And you could. You could delete the song. That's reality. I just don't like the sneaky way that they put this in here because it has nothing to do with how your phone operates, you see. It isn't getting rid of bugs. It isn't fixing anything. It's just kind of sliding that thing in when you do the update.
Well, it has one thing to do with it. If you're verbally complaining about it, it's probably reporting that conversation somewhere.
Well, that's fine.
Getting your name on some FBI wanted list.
Testing. Can you hear me, Apple? So I wanted to get that out there. And then I want to talk about this issue a little bit. Now, the term gay pride, as far as I can trace, started in 1978 in San Francisco. Can you believe that it started in San Francisco?
I can't believe anything wacky did not start in San Francisco.
That's true. The Bay Area started a whole lot of things, along with the gay movement, the drug culture, Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, the riots, you know, the whole Berkeley thing, and on and on and on. That's been a hotbed of negative spiritual influence. And I throw that in there because, as I say many times on the show, that from what we see in the natural, there is always the invisible warfare going on with principalities, powers, dominions, and spiritual wickedness in high places, as the apostle said. But anyway, it started in San Francisco in 1978, but then really has picked up steam. And I noticed this is before he was even elected, but when Barack Obama was campaigning in 2008, someone asked him about same-sex marriage. This was his response. I would rather refer to the Sermon on the Mount, which is, in my mind, for my faith, more central than an obscure passage in Romans. That's what Barack Obama said.
Yeah, and he threw out half the New Testament since Paul wrote half the books of the New Testament. If Paul wasn't an authoritative apostle, half the New Testament.
Yeah, I have secular history books that credit St. Paul with being the single person who spread Christianity and not Jesus, because he went and left his followers.
Well, by the way, Obama didn't understand that Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish the law." Now, yes, he said he would fulfill it.
Oh, now you're taking my holes.
But yeah, because the law that he's referring to also referred to homosexuality. So Obama didn't know what he was talking about.
No, but because he was so charismatic and then became president, people go, "Yeah, well, hey, yeah, the Sermon on the Mount's more important than some obscure passage." Let's talk about the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay, hold that thought. We will talk about the Sermon on the Mount when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, the program that has a show within a show. Yes, it's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
All righty, Jim. Well, I think I've been giving it way too easy for you, it seems like. Every time I think I have a one song that I'm going to get you on a curveball, you always seem to knock it out of the park. So we're going to try it again. 1964, okay. We're going to for this one. Are you ready?
Yeah, I suppose so.
All right, here we go. Don't tell me. Are you serious already?
I'm dead serious.
Okay, hold on. Let me play it out for you a second.
Okay, got it.
I was born in a bomb. Mama died and the daddy got drunk.
I'm going to say the title in a minute.
Okay, go ahead and say it the first before the song says it.
Tobacco Road.
Yes.
And that is the Nashville Teens, who, by the way, none of them had ever been to Nashville because it was a British group.
That's right, yes. It was part of the British invasion. It was a one-hit wonder, man. So.
Great song.
Yeah.
I'm alone, this place called Tobacco Road. But it's home, the only life I know.
Well, very good job, Jim. You did get Tobacco Road. Good job. Good job.
Well, yeah, that's kind of from my favorite era, too. But you keep trying.
Yep, I sure will. I will just say these last couple of things here super quick. John D. Loudermilk wrote the song.
Yeah.
You might know him from Indian Reservation from Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Yep. And who also did Tobacco Road, by the way.
Yes, he did. And then lastly, the producer of the song was Mickey Most. Yes, and he produced The Animals' House of the Rising Sun.
And all of the early Animals stuff Mickey Most did. And by the way, they also covered Tobacco Road.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, and they did it with the early Animals. And then Eric Burdon liked it so much, he did it when he had the new Animals. And then he also performed it with War, Eric Burdon and War. And it's a great tune. Great tune.
Okay.
Okay. So, well,
good job again, Jim. And your wife's going to be really proud of you.
Oh, she loves it. Yeah. All right, Bob. Thank you for indulging us.
You bet.
Oh my. Yeah. Okay. Now the Sermon on the Mount, which Barack Obama preferred over the obscure passage in Romans. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount: I do not presume that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of a letter shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Jesus did not nullify the law at all. He fulfilled it. In fact, he generally raised the bar on most things. For instance, he said, you have heard, don't commit adultery. But I say if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery, and on and on and on. So he actually raised the bar. Now, also in the book of Matthew, Jesus said this: have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Okay, let me just modernize that for you. There are two genders. You either have two X chromosomes or you have an X and a Y chromosome. There aren't 57 genders.
Now, Jim, what could the Son of God know that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doesn't know?
I saw the funniest thing you might have seen. Someone posted is a T-shirt that's being sold, and it's the gender preference thing. And it's talking about how the multiple numbers of genders that there are. But
that's because they just keep making it up as they go.
But at the foot of the ad, it says, available in men's and women's sizes.
Wow. Yeah. Freudian slips, which reveal how they're truly feeling. Well, I'll tell you, you know what's interesting is when a man claims that he's a woman, just to get him to elaborate and explain what that means, he would have to explain some kind of feeling inside of him that he thinks is feminine. So even he is betraying the fact that he thinks there's a difference between men and women. Otherwise, what does he mean when he says he's really a woman?
And I've said this before. This even goes back to the thing we talked about, the speech that the football player gave. I have friends that are gay, and I have family members who are gay. And I don't hate them. They know that I believe what I believe, and they know that I love them, even though they don't agree with my belief system, and I don't agree with their gender preference. And one of them, a friend of mine, a guy I really love, and he said to me, he said, I really feel like that I'm a woman. And I said, do you have menstrual cramps every 28 days? And he said, well, no. I said, well, that would be a big part of feeling like a woman, I would think. You know. On the other hand, if a woman were to say, well, I really feel like I'm a man, I'd say, well, do you get checked for prostate cancer every year? Because, if you know, so they're just obvious things that people want to ignore. And I think there's a reason for all of that, but hopefully we can get through tonight. Now, as for the obscure passage in Romans. And as you said, Paul wrote half the New Testament, and he was the first.
And it wasn't that obscure. He spent a great deal of time in chapter 1 with quite a bit of detail.
Oh, my gosh. Romans is Paul's thesis. It's his systematic theology. Some have called it the gospel according to Paul. Romans is not obscure. And this verse, this passage, is in the opening chapter, the introduction. There's nothing obscure about this at all. So let's see what Paul has to say. This obscure passage, the great theologian, preacher, evangelist, missionary who gave us half the New Testament. For they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood Boom, right there. That's the problem in our culture right now. They exchanged the truth of God for falsehood, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for that which is contrary to nature. And likewise, men, too, abandoned their natural relations with women and burned in their desire toward one another, males with males, committing shameful acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. I can't go into a lot of detail about what that receiving in their own persons the penalty is, but there's guilt, there's shame, there's confusion, there's frustration, there is dysfunction. You know that codependency is incredibly high in the gay community. So there's all kinds of things built into this that they carry into their lives. And to go on now. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, and here's the line, but also approve of those who practice it. That's where we are. That's where the Apple iTunes update is, approving those who practice these things. And that's where Disney and Bud Light, and go down the list, all of these companies that have decided to get on the bandwagon or give in to pressure from these movements and this agenda, they approve, even if they don't practice it. They know that it's wrong, and they approve of those who practice these things. By the way, I think that verse out of Romans very much applies to the whole pornography industry. People approve of that which is really immoral and unclean and should not be practiced, much less by Christians. And I say that carefully because I've counseled so many people, and I know so many people who are professing believers and trying, struggling to live out their Christian life, but they get caught up in the pornography thing, and it's devastating. It's not only devastating to men who get addicted to that, but then it ruins relationships that they're in because their
wives. It's demeaning to the female participants.
Yeah, it is. And I've counseled couples, and I've had women weeping saying, I can't compete with those images. And I say, well, that's because they're not real images. They're airbrushed. There's lighting. Women don't look like those things. And they're paid actresses or whatever. And I had a couple, she was just in tears because the guy was addicted, and he had stacks and stacks of these videos, and he would not give it up. He would not give it up. That relationship came to an end. Now, they had not got married. I was doing pre-marriage counseling with them. And I said, you've got a problem. He said, no, everybody does it. I said, I beg to differ. Everybody doesn't do it. At any rate, it's the giving approval of things that are wrong is just as bad as the people who practice those things.
Okay, hold that thought, Jim. Hold that thought. Right. We'll hold you over for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Thank you.
back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of stuff here tonight, and I've been saying now, as you have for quite some time now, we kind of hit a slippery slope. What started off in the early stages as seemingly harmless, or we wouldn't get too concerned about these things. I remember being in high school, and every once in a while there would be somebody who preferred members of their own sex, and we would tease them and make fun. It was not acceptable. I remember, I tried to find it, I think they've blocked it out, but I remember in Mad Magazine, they did an article, or, you know, one of their works, and it was about protest songs for fringe groups. And so they had all these different things, goofy things. And then it got to homosexuals and protest song for them. And basically, the thing said, you don't deserve to have a song. You're not legitimate. And, of course, the great thing about Mad Magazine was they didn't have any sponsors, so nobody could pull sponsorship from them. But it's come so far now. So how did we arrive at this place where it seems like they say what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right, that whole thing? How did we get here? So I'm going to give, this is going to be a real quick little philosophy 101 for the listeners. It goes back to rationalism, which is the concept that knowledge is available through the use of rational thought. And then we move to humanism, which goes as far back as the Greek philosophers, by the way. And this is that human beings have the right and responsibility to give meaning and to shape their own lives. That doesn't sound so bad. And then you move forward to the scientific revolution in the 1600s, Copernicus and guys like that. And then it became asking why and how things happen instead of what is actually happening in nature. Then we move into the 1700s, and we have the Age of Enlightenment, sometimes called New Rationalism. And this is the concept that reason is the power by which humans understand the universe and improve their own condition, which was right hand in hand then with naturalism. And that is that science accounts for all phenomena. No more supernatural involvement. And then, of course, the natural thing, the logical thing would be Darwinism. And this was evolution, the origin of the species, and that things determine their own future. Then we move, and this was more in my lifetime, into existentialism, which basically then says the universe is meaningless. You exist, and what you experience, that's what's reality to you. That moved into what we call nihilism. Human values are baseless. Life is meaningless. Knowledge is impossible. And then we were set up for this, which is the prevailing thinking of the day, moral relativism. There's no universal or absolute set of moral principles. I'm just going to say this, folks, and if you listen to Bob's show a lot, you have to know this, that the Bible does teach that there are moral absolutes. Jesus taught that there are moral absolutes.
Well, and the human conscience bears witness to moral absolutes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I had a friend, she was into this weird thing, and she said, I don't believe anything is absolute. And I said, do you believe that? She said, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, by the way, that's an absolute statement.
The moment somebody breaks into their home and steals something, or just, yeah. I like to ask them, are you morally outraged at religious hypocrisy? And they'll say, of course I am. I said, well, how can that be if there's no moral absolutes?
Well, I've never done this, but I've always, when someone says that there's no moral absolutes, I've wanted to slap them across the face and say, nothing wrong with that, is there?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that was good, right? That I, you know. So then we had situation ethics. This is that the circumstances determine right and wrong.
Now, I do agree that sometimes circumstances can change things. So there may be something to that.
Yes, but it's like microevolution and macroevolution. The universal absolute truths don't change with the situation.
No, exactly. It's like if somebody's saying, should we have gone to war in Iraq? They would have argued about whether it was good or whether it was evil, whether we were the evil ones, whether Iraq was the evil ones. But that very conversation assumed a framework of good and evil, even there.
Yeah. And maybe we'll do a whole show. I have a whole thing on all of this, but murder is wrong. Most people will agree. Yeah, murder is wrong. But there are community standards, personal convictions. Paul said some people can eat meat, some people can only eat vegetables. Well, that's not an absolute. That's something that is up to the individual or the group. And so there are things, but those are not things that we are claiming as universal, absolute, moral rights and wrongs. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. But the stuff, the Ten Commandments, the things that Jesus taught, those things are true for everybody in every situation and every age. Now we are in what we call postmodernism, which is reality isn't something you perceive. You just create it in your own mind. That's why we have all these people who are identifying as furries, little girls identifying as boys, little boys identifying as girls, because they're creating their own reality. The problem is that's an illusion. It's a lie. They've bought into a lie.
And the very idea of adults letting little kids of that age decide that for themselves, that should be put on the list of child abuse.
Well, it should be, but we are in a time, we've talked about it, we're in a time of deception. We have gone from, started at this list with rationalism to irrationalism. The current state of our culture is absurdity. Things that people say and spout and promote as truths 50 years ago were laughable. And so we don't have a state of reality for our culture, our society. And that's why a man can get elected president and spout lies all day long and make up stories and remember things that never happened, because we really just don't care. It was okay. It was true to him. He feels like it was real. We're in a bad way. So what do we do about it, Bob? What's the solution?
I think the solution is for people to stand their ground and not be cowardly. Most people know that this stuff is nonsense, and they're afraid for their jobs, or sometimes they're afraid to be labeled or called a name. And I think that's the solution, just to realize that it's like the emperor's new clothes. Most people do not feel this way, but everybody's too scared to open their mouths. And I've said this before, just as cowardice is contagious, so is bravery, so is courage. We need to just speak up and say, no, we're not going to apologize for the way we feel, and then others will do the same. That's the solution.
I would hope that that would start happening, and I think there's a rumbling, there's grassroots movement. People are just getting tired of all of this stuff. I love that you brought up the Emperor's New Clothes. That was a great lesson.
It was brilliant, by the brilliant Hans Christian Andersen.
Yep.
Well, Jim, we are running out of time, but you are going to be joining us on June 16th in the studio. Isn't that correct?
Well, no. My trip got canceled. I'll still be on the show, but I will not be in San Diego.
Okay, so you'll still be on June 16th, but just on the phone. You won't be here incarnate.
Yeah.
We'll leave the incarnation for Christ. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, my friend, it's always a pleasure. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We will see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.